Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion. Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on this edition of the program, an interview with Josh Miller. Josh is the host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show. The podcast is dedicated to covering content related to the National Football League Cincinnati Bengals. On the program, we discuss the Bengals' win over the Atlanta Falcons, Bengals' offense and defense, plus Joe Burrow, the Bengals' next game against the Cleveland Browns, which is going to be a big one on Halloween night, which is Monday night, and so much more. So that interview is coming up on this edition of the program with Josh. And, of course, we have the preview of Week 8 and Week 8's game picks. Of course, the most important games for Week 8 in the NFL. But let's backtrack a bit and give you the scores from the most important games from Week 7 in the National Football League. Let's start off with the Thursday night matchup between the New Orleans Saints and the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona would win 42-34. The Cincinnati Bengals took care of the Atlanta Falcons 35-17. The New York Giants continue to surprise the league so far in this first half of the year. They went to North Florida to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 23-17. The Green Bay Packers continue to struggle. The Washington Commanders beat the Green Bay Packers 23-21. The New York Jets continue to soar and take flight as they beat the Denver Broncos 16-9. The Kansas City Chiefs took on the San Francisco 49ers. Kansas City handled their business in the Bay Area, beating the 49ers 44-23. Sunday Night Football saw the return of Tua Tagovailoa at the quarterback position, and the Dolphins hellhole would hold on to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 16-10. And Monday Night Football saw the Chicago Bears going up against the New England Patriots. Thanks to defense, running game, and of course the dual threat style of quarterback Justin Fields, Chicago would beat the New England Patriots 33-14. And those were your scores from the most important games from Week 7 in the National Football League. I like to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off with Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Matt Ryan. All three of these quarterbacks are very unique, and all three of these quarterbacks are struggling. Let's start off with TB12 for a moment. We know about the personal issues going on with TB12. We're not going to get into that. You've been reading and hearing about that, so that's another show for another day. Bottom line is this: his team is currently 3-4. He just doesn't have it this year. Now, I will say this, though. A lot of free agents have left. A lot of injuries, and you don't have Gronk anymore. And I'll say some of the impact players that are on that team, they're missing a lot of easy passes. Playoff Leonard Fournette, so far he's nowhere to be found right now. And Tampa Bay, despite being 3-4, they are currently in first place in the horrible NFC South. And I guess right now everything is still, believe it or not, is still in Tampa's favor. Again, TB12, I mean, he's still playing. He was recently on his podcast that he does with Jim Gray. He says there's no plans of retirement anytime soon. Do I think he needs to go home? No, I don't think he needs to go home. I just think that he has a lot of distractions right now, not just with personal issues, but even with team issues as well. New head coach Todd Bowles, I don't know how involved Todd is in the team's offense, because we have to remember Todd Bowles is a defensive guy. I think he's just giving Brady free reign and just kind of letting him do what he wants to do. But regardless of whether your specialty is offense or defense, you must be involved in on both sides of the ball. Aaron Rodgers, man, if Tom is having his troubles, Aaron is having his troubles as well. Of course, we know about all the offseason things that he went through. We're not going to go into that. Bottom line is this. Didn't play a lot in the preseason. Rookie receivers, young receivers. You know, it seems that he's at the point in his career where he's not going to be a mentor. He's not going to be someone that's going to put his arm around the receivers and say, let's go, let's get it. No, he's someone that's going to be like, look, this is the game plan. This is the playbook. We're working on it, and let's get it. Come hella high water. Now, Aaron is having his issues, not just with the receivers, but even with the offensive line. David Bakhtiari is trying to come back and play in top form. They've played musical chairs on the offensive line. And if you need any consistency at any position in the game of football, it is the offensive line before anything else. The offensive line is top grade and most important on a football team. Aaron is having his troubles, and he says that the game against Buffalo, which we'll talk about a little bit later on in the program, he says that they're going to – this is the spark that they need. This loss is to Washington is going to be the fuel that they need. Well, they better recharge and they better refuel because they're continuing to run out of gas. The gas meter is on E as we march on towards this 2022 NFL season. Matt Ryan, man, you talk about a former league MVP, someone that was one of the people responsible for helping the Atlanta Falcons get to the Super Bowl. We know how that turned out. If you want to know how that turned out, go on YouTube or read about it. 28-3, Nuff said. Bottom line is this, Matt Ryan, still a great quarterback, still someone that can get the job done. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough for Frank Reich as he was benched. For the remainder of the year, Sam Ehlinger will be the starting quarterback going forward for the Indianapolis Colts. Now, Ehlinger, not a lot of experience. Maybe Frank Reich sees something that we don't see, or, you know, maybe experts, pod journalists like ourselves or podcasters don't see. I know Matt sprained his shoulder in the game against the Tennessee Titans. Bottom line is this. This has to be a fall from grace, not just for Matt Ryan, but for the Indianapolis Colts. The last three years they've had different quarterbacks. They've gone from Phillip Rivers to Carson Wentz last year, the beginning of the year with Matt Ryan. Now we have Sam Ehlinger. And I don't know what's going on in Indianapolis. I know one thing, they need Jonathan Taylor back because Jonathan Taylor is really the engine that moves for that Indianapolis Colts offense. But Matt Ryan, I don't know how long this is going to last. If Ehlinger can get them wins, or maybe Ehlinger can push the ball down the field to open up plays for the running game for Jonathan Taylor. But this is not good at all. And I don't know how this is going to end in Indianapolis, because Ryan, to my knowledge, is currently under contract for this year and next year. This is definitely a surprise move by the Indianapolis Colts. My next storyline is going to be Tua Tagovailoa. We all know what happened several weeks ago, just a horrific event that happened in the Thursday night football game, the Cincinnati Bengals, and then before that, what happened the week before in the Buffalo Bills game. He made his return on Sunday night football against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Looked solid. I tell you one thing, his approach was very different. He got rid of the ball very quickly. Again, I was still very scared. I was still anxious to see him out there. I thought maybe another week, maybe 2 weeks could have served them better. But again, with athletes, you know, they're very competitive. And if they say they're ready to go, then they're ready to go. Long story short, I was very frightened when I saw Tua put his head down and he got tackled by a Steelers defender as he was scrambling to get yardage. I was like, ooh, I hope he doesn't get hitting the head, man. And a lot of people that watched that game were very nervous. They were gasping for air, like, oh no, hope he's okay. He got right up and finished the game, and he looked good. He looked very solid. And again, he's still being monitored. Again, it's still very early in this NFL season, and Tua, again, just needs to be very careful, but I like the approach that they have with Tua, staying in the pocket, only running when he needs to, and throwing the ball, getting rid of the ball very quickly. I like that approach. I hope Coach Mike McDaniel can stay with that because they have to protect Tua, not just for the short term, but for the long term. And my last storyline is going to be Dak Prescott. So Dak was out for more than several weeks with a thumb injury, heard it on opening on the first Sunday night of the year against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We saw Cooper Rush keep the seat warm for him until he came back. And so far, so good. Dak showed up and Dak did his thing, had a solid game, threw for 207 yards and a touchdown pass. So as far as Dak is concerned, it appears that he's trying to get back to old Dak. Is he there yet? Not quite, but you know, these next several games are going to be very interesting. The next game that the Cowboys have is going to be, I'll say, kind of a winnable game for the Cowboys against the Chicago Bears. And then they have the bye week. And then after that, you have the next three games at Green Bay, which is going to be a big one on Fox. If Green Bay drops to Buffalo, this could be the season for Green Bay. And then you've got a tough one at Minnesota. And then after that, on Thanksgiving Day against the New York Giants, which is definitely going to be one heck of a game, as that Giants-Cowboys rivalry is definitely being renewed. Remember earlier in the year at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, the Cowboys beating the Giants on Monday night. So Dak, going forward, let's see, there's Chicago, and then there's the bye week, and then Green Bay, Minnesota, and the Giants are going to be tough games. Indianapolis, Houston, winnable games. Jacksonville is going to be a tough one. Philadelphia is going to be a game on Christmas Eve. The Philadelphia game on Christmas Eve at Jerry World. Definitely going to be an interesting game. And then they're at Tennessee, and then they finish the year at Washington. So the majority of the games are winnable for the Dallas Cowboys, but also the majority of those games can be productive for Dak Prescott. It's just a matter of him staying healthy. His offensive line can get it done for him for the most part. And right now, so far, so good for Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. All right, that takes care of my top three storylines. Before we go to break, just a lot of moving and shaking going on in the NFL in terms of trading. If you've been under a rock, the Carolina Panthers traded running back Christian McCaffrey to the San Francisco 49ers. So the 49ers get McCaffrey, and in return, the Panthers will get a second, third, and a fourth round pick in the 2023 NFL draft and a fifth round pick in the 2024 NFL draft. Also, another news, James Robinson was traded to the New York Jets, and that's big because the Jets have suffered a devastating blow for rookie running back Breece Hall out for the season, tearing his ACL. So James Robinson, the Jacksonville Jaguars, trade him to the New York Jets. And in return, the Jaguars will get a conditional sixth-round pick. So, again, as I mentioned earlier, the New York Jets lost running back Breece Hall for the remainder of the year due to an ACL tear. So the Jets need another running back. They needed help, and they get James Robinson. I tell you what, James Robinson is one of the most underrated players in the National Football League. If you had not had an opportunity to watch Jacksonville, you're going to be in for a treat when you watch the New York Jets, and James Robinson is going to be an automatic game changer going forward for the Jets, 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 Jets. Finally, but the Chicago Bears traded pass rusher Robert Quinn to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for a fourth-round draft pick. So the Bears get a fourth-round draft pick while the Philadelphia Eagles get Robert Quinn. Man, the Philadelphia Eagles have been making a lot of moves since April with the NFL draft. They got A.J. Brown on draft night, and then they acquired C.J. Gardner-Johnson just before the start of preseason, and that team is just playing so well right now. And now you add Robert Quinn to the mix. Man, that defensive line with Robert Quinn, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, you got Brandon Graham in the mix as well. And that secondary with C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Darius Big Play Slade, just to name a few, it's going to be awesome. And, man, the Eagles, they've just gotten so much better this year. And also, they're going to get better for the next 8 years with the future draft picks that they got as a part of the deal with Tennessee and, of course, with the big New Orleans trade as well. Man, definitely something to watch going forward for the Philadelphia Eagles. They just continue to fly high. And finally, Frank Clark, defensive end for the Kansas City Chiefs, will serve a 2-game suspension for his arrest that had happened in June of 2021. It happened last summer. He was arrested in his hometown of Los Angeles for a felony firearm possession. And as a result of that, the league has suspended him for 2 games as a result of the arrest that had taken place in June of last year. So again, that takes care of my top 3 storylines and also some additional news on what's currently going on in the NFL. All right, when we come back from the break, I have an interview with Josh Miller. Josh is the host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals Show. The podcast is dedicated to covering content related to the National Football League Cincinnati Bengals. We discuss the Bengals win over the Atlanta Falcons. We talk Bengals offense and defense. Plus, we talk coach Zach Taylor, also Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase. The Bengals' next game is going to be a spooky one Monday night, Halloween night, against their in-state rival, the Cleveland Browns, in the Battle of Ohio. Josh is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the League Wraparound.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
Everyone deserves to be connected. That's why Cox offers a range of high-speed internet plans that fit any budget. Stream, chat, and stay connected at an incredible price. It's fast, reliable internet for everyone. You're probably thinking, wait, what? But yeah, it's true. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply. Everyone deserves to feel connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. For real. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
Now Burrow off the play fake. He's going to let one fly. Oh, he's got him wide open. And strolling in for the touchdown is Tyler Boyd. first and 10. Going to loft it down the sideline. Chase has it. And he's in. Touchdown, Cincinnati. Working the sideline, but then Chase comes back inside. And he's gone. Jamar Chase. Mixon gets another opportunity. Stumbles, but enough momentum to fall forward and score the touchdown. Working the sideline, but then Chase comes back. Instead, how about a sneak from Joe Burrow?
No signal yet.
Looked like he was in. Wait for it.
He certainly did.
Touchdown.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody. That audio was courtesy of the NFL on Fox, and that was Brandon Gordon on the call of the game in Week 7 between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Atlanta Falcons from October the 23rd of 2022. The final score was the Bengals 35, the Falcons 17. To talk more about this game and also look ahead to Cincinnati's big Halloween Monday night game against the in-state rival Cleveland Browns, we want to welcome him back to the program. The brother's always been solid, giving us his information and his opinions and his love for his Cincinnati Bengals. Let's welcome him back to the program. He is the host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show, Josh Miller. Hey, Josh, welcome back, my man.
Ed, it's been too long, man. How you doing? Good to hear from you.
Same here, my man, and it's good to hear from you as well. Give me your takeaways from the Cincinnati Bengals victory over the Atlanta Falcons.
First of all, it just starts off with, okay, this was the team that we were expecting through the offseason. Obviously, starting off with a really rough start, going 0-2, especially against, your division rivals, the Pittsburgh Steelers, doesn't exactly put a great taste in your mouth. But over the past 2 weeks, you really start to see this offense get put together. And then on top of that, this defense has started to, they started to become, at this point, historic. They're, I believe, the only team in history to not let a second half touchdown happen within seven games, or it's either them and a couple other teams. But this team is really starting to gel together. You're really starting to see them take that next stride. Now, against a team like the Atlanta Falcons, who going into the year wasn't exactly picked to do much of anything. Actually, they were picked to be in the running for the first-round draft pick. But, Atlanta started to really put together a lot of, big wins together, especially last week when they beat the Niners, and they beat them pretty handily. We thought, okay, this is going to be a really tough game for the Bengals. It's going to be a lot tougher than what we think it's going to be. But instead, the Bengals come out, they handle business. Joe Burrow just looked great. The offense looks like it's finally gelling, and it's something that, we've all been waiting for. It's like, okay, now here we are. So now it's time to start putting it together, and our biggest thing now, we got to be consistent throughout all the season. So you can't have a letdown coming up here. You're still only 4-3. You got plenty of season to go, and it's going to be a tight race between Cincinnati and Baltimore for the AFC North title.
You're right about that, Josh, and they definitely got to get hot at the right time, and if it's any time to get hot, it would be right around the point, right around between Halloween and mid-November is normally when teams finally start getting their groove and start, as you said, starting to get consistent. Before we talk about Joe Burrow, I want us to talk about other important factors on the offensive side for Cincinnati's win over the Atlanta Falcons. I want to start off with Joe Mixon, 17 carries for 58 yards and a rushing touchdown, and he had three catches for 33 yards. Just give me your thoughts on Joe and his performance in the game against the Falcons.
So it's been really good to see Joe Mixon start to become that part of the offense that we've been desperately needing. He also has had a rough start. He's had a hard time getting going. He's not been able to break tackles as well as he has done over his entire career. But now to see him, I believe what the Bengals have done is they've lessened his load. And they've said, okay, all right, we're going to give you less touches on the ground, but you're still going to be a big part of the offense. They're throwing at him through the air. And so that way, when he does get the ball, he's fresh, his legs are ready to go, and he's been able to, move around the field. He's been able to really start to move forward, and he starts to run downhill. That was another big thing that Joe Mixon hasn't been doing so well. It's just running downhill. So he's been doing a lot of that more. And he hopefully that this is a catalyst that we continue to see him. He still has yet to have a game where he's gotten over 100 yards in rushing. We would love to see that change, but I believe that that's coming up because I believe his confidence is starting to build up.
All right, speaking of confidence, the wide receivers for Cincinnati, their confidence was on a major high in this game against the Falcons. Tyler Boyd, 8 catches for 155 yards and a touchdown. Give me your thoughts on Tyler and his performance in the game against the Falcons.
Well, Tyler Boyd going into the season, we all kind of knew was the, you know, the not the odd man out, but he was definitely the third wide receiver out of T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. But to see him finally get the ball, and the Bengals are making it a point to get the ball to Tyler Boyd and let him make plays out in space to be able to watch him actually have these, you know, touchdown passes, especially that first one where they scored within the first 2 minutes where Tyler Boyd just got wide open. It's been great to see. He's probably a guy that's not going to receive a third contract. So his contract, I believe, is up either at the end of this year or next year. He's probably not going to get re-signed to the Bengals. So we want to get the most out of what we can from him. And he's been great. And not only that, I feel like as though when he starts doing well, the rest of the team starts doing well. And he's a big confidence builder for the rest of that wide receiver room. I mean, he is the veteran in that wide receiver room, and you know, while he may not be the best out of it, he's definitely been there the longest, and his impact on not only himself and the team, but the other wide receivers as well, has been felt all throughout, you know, last year, and now at this point this year. So his inclusion in the offense has been majorly, a major benefit, because now defenses are going to have to start to key in on Tyler Boyd. This is going to keep opening up T. Higgins and Jamar Chase downfield. So he's been a major, major benefit to this offense.
I want to stay with Tyler Boyd for a moment. You mentioned that this is the final year of Tyler's contract, and most likely he's not going to be re-signed. Do you think this has a lot to do with Burrow and Chase already in their rookie contracts, and they're expected to get massive extensions whenever that time comes about for renegotiation?
Absolutely. I mean, and the management of the Bengals, the owner of the Bengals, at the beginning of the year, before we even played a snap, made a mention that they know what's coming down the pike. They know that they're going to have to pay some pretty big paychecks coming down, and they definitely want to build around Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Joe Burrow. They wouldn't be able to pay them. You see that all throughout the Bengals organization. That's why they're doing things more for them. So that's why they sold the naming rights to Paul Brown Stadium, and now it's Paycor Stadium, so that way they can get that influx of revenue. They built that extra practice facility out there, so now you're wanting more. Now you're going to have a training facility, as the Bengals were one of the only teams without an indoor practice facility or training facility. Now that they have that, so the organization is going to try to build around them. Tyler Boyd has done so much for this organization, and he's been here through a lot of hard times, and he's been here through the upswing as well. So, you know, it's going to be sad to watch him walk, but we're going to have to start remembering, okay, Joe needs to get paid, and then Jamar needs to get paid, and then T. Higgins needs to get paid. Then you got to look at the other side of the ball, okay? Do you want to re-sign Trey Hendrickson for another contract? Do you want to re-sign Logan Wilson for another contract? So they are most certainly looking at that. And, you know, unless Tyler Boyd takes a pretty big pay cut, he's probably not going to be a Bengal next year.
All right, and speaking of T. Higgins in this game against Atlanta, he had 5 catches for 93 yards. Just give me your thoughts on T. and his play in this game.
He just couldn't get that 7 more to get the 100, so all 3 of them could have 100 yards. But, again, he's just such a reliable wide receiver. You're able to throw it to him pretty much anywhere around his body, and he's able to go up and make a catch. He has got these just vice-grip hands that as soon as the ball touches them, it's getting hauled in. And, you know, to be able to throw it to him when he's man-covered or he's double-covered and still expect him to go up and make a play on the ball, it's something truly extraordinary. And then he also just brings a different type of wide receiver. So like Tyler Boyd and Jamar Chase are more on the shorter side. Tyler Boyd's more of a, you know, he's the slot receiver. Jamar Chase is the deep threat. T. T. Higgins is that tall, lanky, strong wide receiver. You can kind of throw it up to him pretty much anywhere on the field, a lot of times in third down situations, short yardage situations, and especially in the red zone. So T. Higgins has been a massive impact on that. Now, I would like to see him drop less balls, but he's starting to come around. He's starting to drop less balls, and he's starting to get more yardage. And, you know, his yards after catch have been going up and up over this entire course of the year. So if we can keep him to keep doing that, then this Bengals offense, the sky's the limit.
All right, and let's talk. Continue with the offense, the tight end position. Hayden Hurst, 6 catches for 48 yards. Just give me your thoughts on Hayden and his play against the Falcons.
Well, Hayden, well, there was a big question mark going into the season with what they were going to do with tight end. Obviously, losing C.J. Uzomah was a pretty big blow to not only the on-field play but the locker room as well. And the big question was, can Hayden Hurst come through and be able to fill in that role that C.J. Uzomah originally had? Hayden Hurst has not only done that, but he's done more than that. As you can see through the stats, Hayden Hurst is dominating C.J. Uzomah in terms of stats. And then on top of that, they keep saying that he is an incredible locker room guy. So he's been that for us, and he's been pretty much the final piece in what we really needed out of this skill group position. And so with him being on the field and him being on the Bengals has been a big help to the offense. And, you know, I keep saying that it's, you know, these guys are big benefits to the offense, but it really is. It really is. This is a team-style offense. You know, you see Ja'Marr Chase with the big plays. You see T. Higgins with the big plays. But really, that doesn't happen unless Tyler Boyd and Hayden Hurst are getting open. They're making hard catches, and they're converting on third downs.
All right, and I want to talk now about, of course, the guy that's we mentioned his name earlier, and someone that is expected to get a big extension whenever his rookie contract ends, and that's Ja'Marr Chase. And Ja'Marr had a big performance, 8 catches, 130 yards to go along with 2 touchdowns. Thoughts on Ja'Marr and his play in this game?
I mean, what more can you say about Ja'Marr Chase that honestly hasn't already been said? I mean, he is just, at this point, an elite talent in the NFL. I mean, he's only in his second year, but he's probably up there with probably the best wide receivers in the game as of right now. You can always throw it to him and expect him to just make a spectacular play. They're still, while he's still the deep threat, I also love that they're also giving him these midfield passes as well. And they're throwing it to him 10 yards, 15 yards down the field and letting him basically make a play. You saw in one of his touchdowns against Atlanta where they threw it to him on the sideline. It was about a 15, 20-yard pass, and Ja'Marr Chase ended up turning it into a 45, 50-yard touchdown. So, he's just such an amazing talent that have him on the field as your offense. I mean, as a defense, you just got to look, or if you're the opposing defense, you just got to look at this offense like, okay, how do we stop this? Because if they get us in the run game, then we're going to sync up, and then they're going to throw it over the top, or if they throw it over the top, they're going to start to inch back, and then you start hitting them with these midfield passes, and then you start hitting them with these long gashing runs with Joe Mixon. And Ja'Marr Chase just opens the playbook up so much, and it's been pretty amazing to watch.
All right, and I want to stay just with Ja'Marr for a moment. We've seen during the offseason, well, this past offseason, I should say, that Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill were paid market value at the wide receiver position. Ja'Marr Chase, do you expect the Cincinnati Bengals to pay Ja'Marr Chase the equal value that those two guys got paid at that position, or do you expect to exceed that number and pay him double what Adams and Hill were paid?
I believe it's going to come down to probably a little bit over market value. I think the Bengals truly value Ja'Marr Chase as if they did when A.J. Green was here. And, you know, even during A.J. Green's down times and his down years, they still paid him a pretty handsome penny. They're probably going to do the same exact thing with Ja'Marr Chase. They're really going to value this continuity with the Bengals offense. And I think that's a big thing that this organization really values is just continuity, stability, and being able to build around this young talent here. And now, it's pretty amazing. A lot of these guys are still in their rookie deals. Like you mentioned, Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins, they're all still in their rookie deals. It's going to be a pretty big paycheck coming down the way. We're going to have to say goodbye to some players that we truly love, but I think the Bengals are really keen in on, okay, we want to lock this guy up for a very long time, and we want him in this organization for a very long time.
All right. I want to move along now to the defensive side of the ball. Sam Hubbard, Trey Hendrickson, and Joseph Osai all had sacks for the Bengals. Give me your thoughts on their play in this game.
Oh, this defense has just been absolutely outstanding this year, especially in the second half. Like I said before, they're one of the only teams to ever not allow a second-half touchdown through seven games. And, you know, that's a credit to them. That's a credit to the front seven just being so, so good. It's also a credit to Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator, for drafting up such great game plans and being able to make such great second-half adjustments to really put this team in a position to win. And on top of that, Sam Hubbard is just such a – while his stats don't really speak, that loudly, what he does in the run game and what he does in the passing game is truly something special. He allows other guys to go in and make the play. He sets the edge on the run almost clinically. When I was in high school, I was a defensive end, and one thing they always said is you have to set the edge on the run. And honestly, if you sat down high school players and just said, you want to know exactly what we're talking about, this is exactly how you do it, they would put on highlights of Sam Hubbard setting the edge because he's so, so good at it. And then let's go to Trey Hendrickson. Trey Hendrickson, he is just an absolute monster. I can't imagine lining up against him, as a tackle and being able to completely stop him or completely shut him down. It feels like he's getting held on every single play. I feel like every time he makes a rush at the quarterback, there should be a flag coming down for holding. But he's still able to get through, and he's still able to, he's so violent off the edge, and he's so quick with his swim moves and his ability to get to the quarterback. So he's been a huge, huge benefit to this defense. And like I said, if the front seven doesn't do their job, the linebackers don't do their job, and then the secondary doesn't do their job. I mean, it's a big domino effect with this defense, and that's why I like how they play. It's so team-oriented. So since their ability to be able to, stop the run, get to the passer, and, all of that has really attributed to this defense's success.
All right, I want to now go to Akeem Davis. He led the team in tackles with 6. Give me your thoughts on Akeem and his play in this game.
Akeem Davis-Gaither is one guy that I point to and say, when people ask, how has the Bengals organization changed? And I look at Akeem Davis-Gaither. Akeem Davis-Gaither was a late-round draft pick. He was a guy that, he had some looks. Some people said he was drafted too low. Some people said he was drafted too high. But he comes out, and he's still making a large amount of plays. He's able to get into the backfield. He's able to play his position. And one thing that is a big thing for him is that he was replacing Logan Wilson, who I believe is a Pro Bowl linebacker if he stays healthy. And those are some pretty big shoes to fill, but him and Jermaine Pratt were able to do that flawlessly, and they were able to keep that defense pretty much at bay. And I was, when he was out there, I kind of totally forgot that Logan Wilson wasn't even there because Akeem Davis-Gaither was making so many plays, and it was really good to see him play as well as he did, especially being, such a late draft pick. And then also on top of that, he was coming off of an injury from last year. But it's been really good to see him step up. And now we know we can count on our bench to go out there and make some plays when our starters are out.
All right. And of course, we have to talk about Joe Burrow. In this game, he completed 34 out of 42 passes for 481 yards and 3 touchdown passes, and to go along with a rushing touchdown. Your thoughts on Joe and his play in this game?
I mean, the franchise is back. He started off the year so slow. He started off the year with 4 interceptions against Pittsburgh. Many forget that Joe Burrow was also coming off of an appendectomy surgery that happened over the summer, very close to the start of the year. So he was definitely going to be slow to the start, but now he's really picked back up. And I think that, again, this all goes back to the success of the wide receivers and the success of the offensive line is all hinged on each other, and the success of Joe Burrow has been hinged on that. So he's able to be comfortable throwing to pretty much every single target. And as you saw him in the Atlanta game, he was really comfortable in the pocket. You know, the Bengals went five wide quite a bit, and they went in the shotgun pretty much the entire game until the very end. And I believe that was to Joe Burrow's benefit. And I think that he's been able to sit in the pocket more comfortably. I think he looks more comfortable out there. He looks more seamless. He's able to just go out there and make plays and, you know, be the franchise guy that we all know that he is.
I want to stay just with Joe for a moment. The offensive line has taken a lot of heat so far this year. During the offseason, the Bengals spent a lot of money to protect Joe Burrow. Alex Kappa, Lyle Collins, Ted Karras, those are some of the offensive linemen that were paid handsomely to come to Cincinnati to protect Burrow. So far, Joe has spent a lot of time on the ground so far. Just give me your thoughts on the offensive line and how they performed this year in terms of protecting Joe.
So I think we honestly saw how hard it is to put together an offensive line with three brand new guys in there and to be able to put them right into an offense. Yeah, you are absolutely right. Joe Burrow's been sacked just way too many times for the amount of money that's been spent in the offseason for the offensive line. But Ted Karras and Alex Kappa, especially on that inside part of the line, you saw it on Sunday, is that they were able to give Joe that time. And I think this allows Zach Taylor to really simplify the playbook. It's like, okay, now I can put it in Joe Burrow's hands, be comfortable with it, and let him just go to work. Because that offensive line is now starting to gel together. You're seeing the chemistry come around. You know, and if you listen to Alex Kappa during his interviews with the media, he's pretty open that the offensive line was struggling at the first part of this year. But to be able to see them start to do much better now, it seems like they're not giving up on it, and it just seems like they're getting better and better each time around. They did allow three sacks against Joe Burrow, they allowed three sacks on Joe Burrow against the Atlanta Falcons. But I believe they're still getting better. They're still gelling. They still have a while to go. And I think Frank Pollock, the offensive line coach, is starting to do a better job of understanding what exactly is in front of him and exactly what that front five is bringing. So I believe that it's going to continue to get better. Now, I really don't think we're going to see the same sack totals that we did last year with the Bengals, where they were they allowed the second most sacks among any team, somehow still made the Super Bowl. I don't know how that happened, but they were still able to do that. And I think they're going to be a lot better this year. And if they're able to do that, this just opens the playbook that much more wide open.
All right, and then that takes care of the Cincinnati Bengals, as they had a big win in Week 7 over the Atlanta Falcons. Final score was 35-17. Zach Taylor, again, it's another year for him. He's still relatively new, but still, you know, he's got a great team. He had a great team last year, and this is the makings of another great team this year for the Bengals. Just give me your thoughts on Zach and how he's performed so far this year.
Well, a lot of questions that came out of the first five games, I would say, is Zach Taylor going to be able to stay as the play caller? Many of Cincinnati Bengals fans, especially me and myself, love Zach Taylor as a head coach because he's brought a good culture to the team. I believe he makes great second half adjustments, and I think overall his game plan as well, but his ability to play call in the moment and during the game has definitely been subject to criticism and well-deserved. These past two games, it looks like that he's just settled down. It looks like he's like, okay, I'm going to just give the ball to my best player, which is Joe Burrow, and let him go to work. And when he does that and he gets the ball in Joe Burrow's hand instead of taking it away from him, you see a lot more success from this offense. And so I think Zach Taylor's starting to still come around. He still has some questions for me as a play caller. I do think that he can be better in multiple areas, but I think overall he's been great for the franchise. He's obviously brought him to a Super Bowl. He was able to straight up out coach a lot of coaches last year in games, especially in the playoffs. I believe he completely outcoached Mike Vrabel of the Tennessee Titans. And I think he outcoached Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs, who is a Super Bowl winner and constantly has a Super Bowl contender of a team. So he's still getting better. I think he still has a long way to go. His play calling is still in question. I would like to maybe see he let off the reins of that a little bit. But as of right now, I mean, I can't really speak ill of him because he just put together a great game plan for both the Saints game and the Atlanta Falcons game and allowed their offense to really, really explode.
All right, and that sets the stage for the Battle of Ohio on Monday night between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns. The game is going to be played in Cleveland Halloween night, man. Very spooky and in the AFC North, never a dull moment. And we saw Cleveland implode in their last game. So definitely this is going to be an emotional game in the battle of the Buckeye State in Ohio. I want to start off with Cleveland's offense. What do you think Cleveland's offense needs to do and the keys to victory to get points against the Browns' defense, with, of course, led by Myles Garrett? What do you think Joe Burrow and that offense needs to do to get points against that Cleveland defense?
First thing that they need to do is they need to eliminate the number one threat, which is obviously going to be Myles Garrett coming off the edge. They're going to have to be able to block him and at least contain him. He's most certainly going to get a sack during the game. That's going to happen. I mean, he's just that good of a player. He's elite. But if you're able to do that and shut him down, then at this point it's your skill players against their skill players versus offense and defense. And I believe that the Bengals skill players are probably the best in the league. So I think if you're able to eliminate their best guy, which is Myles Garrett, the Bengals are going to be able to pretty much light up the scoreboard and do what they want. I believe the Browns are having, I mean, they're struggling, I believe, on the field, but they're also struggling mentally, too. This was supposed to be a much better Browns team than we saw, and they're starting out 2-5. And like you said, they imploded against the Ravens, which was, you know, I didn't expect them to completely implode. I expected them to lose. But this is a chance for the Bengals to completely deliver the knockout punch to the Browns season. I don't think the Browns are going to be able to come back from 2-6 and 0-3 in the one and two in the division. I just don't think they're going to be able to come back from that, and I think the Bengals are going to be able to deliver that knockout punch. Now, that being said, on the other side of the ball, this is Cleveland's last chance for this season. You know, they get a win against Cincinnati, then they're right back in it, and just like that, they're 3-5, and then they're starting to feel a lot better about themselves. So the Bengals have a giant chance here. But I believe – so long answer to your question, I believe that's what the Bengals have to do on offense.
All right, let's move over to the other side of the ball. Cleveland's offense is built around the running game with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, by far one of the best running games in the National Football League. And, of course, Cleveland's got the wide receiver – position down, like locked down, led by wide receiver Amari Cooper. So what do you think Cincinnati's defense needs to do to take down Cleveland's running game?
I believe what they got to do is they got to be able to stack the box and be able to line up one-on-one and shut down the run. If you saw against the Saints, the Bengals defense has not been doing very well against really, really good running teams. And the Saints are not a really good running team, but they ended up running for 250 yards on the Bengals defense, which is, you know, completely unacceptable in the National Football League. Somehow we still pulled out the win. But you got to be able to shut that run down. One way you can do it is by locking up the box and putting a lot of big bodies inside. One of the key players the Bengals are going to be missing for this game is DJ Reader. DJ Reader has been so amazing against the run, and he's been a big help to the defense. But him being out so much, you can definitely feel his absence on the defensive line. So what the Bengals have to do, they got to force that run outside. They got to force them to Trey Hendrickson. They got to force them to Sam Hubbard, and then, you know, let our corners and our linebackers come up and make a play. The Bengals are able to do that on defense. I'm fine with letting the Browns throw the ball with Jacoby Brissett to their, you know, to their wide receivers, because I do believe that the Bengals secondary is going to be able to be up for the challenge. They're going to be able to shut down the Browns offensively, especially through the air. But the big thing is shutting them down on the run. Can they shut them down? Can they take a running team and basically take away their best part of their game, which is the run, obviously, and it's Nick Chubb and it's Kareem Hunt. If the Bengals are able to do that, I believe the Bengals are walking out Monday night with a massive W on Halloween night.
It's going to be a great game. It's going to be a very spooky on Halloween night, Monday Night Football in the Battle of Ohio with the Cincinnati Bengals going up against the Cleveland Browns. And you heard it from him. He's Josh Miller, the host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show. Again, Josh, as always, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So tell everybody what's going on over at the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show.
Thank you so much, Ed. I'm so happy to always be on your show. I really appreciate the invite. So the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show is right now going through a little bit of a change. We have not been able to put out as many podcasts as we would like to this year. There's been a lot going on in my professional and personal life that's kind of taken me away. However, we are still going strong. You can find me on Twitter at the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show. And then you can also find my podcast pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts. It's still the same, the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show. And, yes, Ed, thank you so much for having me on. I can't wait to talk to you again.
Yo, you're welcome anytime. And tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well as the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show and any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
Yes, sir, absolutely. So right now we are only on Twitter. You can find this at the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show. That's completely on Twitter. And then, like I said, you can find pretty much me anywhere on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and I believe Podbean, Google Podcasts, and pretty much all of those. I've lost track. There's so many podcast apps now. But you can find me pretty much anywhere there. Go back and listen through. Like I said, we haven't had many be out recently just because of some changes going on with the Back Row show, but we hope to come back in full force very, very soon.
You know, football and food go hand in hand. And I've got to ask you, what do you enjoy eating at a Cincinnati Bengals game? What are some of the foods that you enjoy eating at a Bengals game?
Oh, I mean, obviously I got to start off with a Skyline Chili. That's always the best. And, you know, you can't go wrong with a couple cheese conies and a three-way and a nice tall cold Bud Light. I mean, you're sitting pretty good, and you're going to have yourself a great time. But one thing that Cincinnati has absolutely slept on is the buffalo wings. I believe Cincinnati has some of the best wings in all of the country. It does not get enough. It does not get enough love. So I would say you can never go wrong with wings, and you can definitely never go wrong with Skyline Chili.
You mentioned about the Skyline Chili, a three-way and a cheese coney and a buffalo wings. Can you explain to the listeners out there how do they do it in Cincinnati in terms of the Skyline Chili, the three-way, and the buffalo wings as well as the cheese coney?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can talk about it all day. So with your three ways, that's your pasta, that's Skyline Chili, the best cheese you've ever had layered on top, and then onions on top of it. You can also get a four-way, which adds beans, and then you get a five-way, which adds sour cream. I usually get the three-way, and it's just so good. And then and they make the chili, you know, it's really, really thin. It's almost like a sauce at this point. But it just layers so well on top of spaghetti. Oh, my mouth is watering just talking about it. And then with the conies, it's the same thing, but it's a hot dog, and it's that Skyline Chili on top. You have to put the mustard and the hot sauce on it as well, and then you got to put the cheese on it. You got to get the extra cheese. I don't know what Skyline puts in their cheese, but, yeah, I mean, it keeps me coming back over and over again. With the wings, it's just made with love, honestly. You can tell that so much time and effort is put into Cincinnati wings, and, you know, they make them very, very fluffy. They're big. They're really, really big wings, and then the breading is just delicious, and then you can get pretty much any sort of sauce with it. So I would say that's what Cincinnati does differently with their food. They make it with just love.
All right, awesome. And you heard it from these Josh Miller, the host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show, giving you the 411 on what's currently going on, the Cincinnati Bengals. And one more time, tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well as the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show and the website, any website you want to let the listeners know, let them know that as well.
Yes, sir, absolutely. So you can find me on Twitter at the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show. You can find my podcast pretty much anywhere where you listen to podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any sort of those. That is the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show. And then also you can go to my, you can go to the website fansided.com and go over to Stripe Hype, which is where our Bengals blogs are written, and we have a plenty of great authors that write for the Bengals, and they do a great job. So that's exactly where you can find me. And Ed, thank you so much for having me on, man.
You're welcome. And you heard it from him again. He's Josh Miller from the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show. Again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Yes, sir, Ed. I'm always willing to come back on and talk to you, man. Love you, brother. Be good, and good luck with your show, buddy.
Oh, man, thank you so much. Love you as well, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Now Burrow off the play fake. He's going to let one fly. Oh, he's got him wide open, and strolling in for the touchdown is Tyler Boyd. Burrow on a first and 10, going to loft it down the sideline. Chase has it, and he's in. Touchdown, Cincinnati. Working the sideline.
No signal yet.
Looked like he was in. Wait for it.
Touchdown.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
Everyone deserves to be connected. That's why Cox offers a range of high-speed internet plans that fit any budget. Stream, chat, and stay connected at an incredible price. It's fast, reliable internet for everyone. You're probably thinking, wait, what? But yeah, it's true. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply. Usually you can pick a lot, a little, or somewhere in the middle. That's why Cox now offers flexible internet plans, giving you all the services you desire and nothing you don't require. Additional services can be added at then current regular rates.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
Usually you can pick a lot, a little, or somewhere in the middle. That's why Cox now offers flexible internet plans, giving you all the services you desire and nothing you don't require. Additional services can be added at then current regular rates.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
Whether you're looking for a home mortgage, home equity loan, construction loan, or land loan, Patterson State Bank will put out the welcome mat. Patterson State Bank, your trusted community mortgage lender since 1925. Start the process online at PattersonStateBank.com.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
By now, you've probably seen ads about water contamination at Camp Lejeune everywhere on TV, social media, and probably even following you around on the internet. The water at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune was contaminated with toxic chemicals for more than 3 decades. It is not rare for people who drank this water for an extended period of time to develop severe illness, including kidney cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, leukemia, liver cancer, bladder cancer, birth defects, Parkinson's, and more. A new law called the PACT Act allows victims of poisoned water to seek repayment for their medical costs. What those other ads don't tell you is that because the PACT Act is a fresh law, it is important to find an attorney who understands the new claims forms. There is limited time to file your Camp Lejeune claim, so you need a lawyer who can get it right the first time. The experienced team of attorneys at sickmarine.com is ready to file your claim. They will fight for you and won't take no for an answer. To file your claim and to have your case prioritized, sign up at sickmarine.com.
By now, you've probably seen ads about the water contamination at Camp Lejeune everywhere. People who got sick after drinking that toxic water are now able to seek repayment for their medical costs because of a new law, the PACT Act. What those other ads don't tell you is that because the PACT Act is a fresh law, it's important to find an attorney who understands the new claims forms. There is a limited time to file your Camp Lejeune claim, so you need a lawyer who can get it right the first time. The experienced team of attorneys at sickmarine.com is ready to file your claim. They will fight for you, and they won't take no for an answer. Sign up at sickmarine.com. By now, you've probably seen ads about water contamination at Camp Lejeune everywhere on TV, social media, and probably even following you around on the internet. The water at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune was contaminated with toxic chemicals for more than 3 decades. It is not rare for people who drank this water for an extended period of time to develop severe illness, including kidney cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, leukemia, liver cancer, bladder cancer, birth defects, Parkinson's, and more. A new law called the PACT Act allows victims of poisoned water to seek repayment for their medical costs. What those other ads don't tell you is that because the PACT Act is a fresh law, it is important to find an attorney who understands the new claims forms. There is limited time to file your Camp Lejeune claim, so you need a lawyer who can get it right the first time. The experienced team of attorneys at sickmarine.com is ready to file your claim. They will fight for you and won't take no for an answer. To file your claim and to have your case prioritized, sign up at sickmarine.com. By now, you've probably seen ads about the water contamination at Camp Lejeune everywhere. People who got sick after drinking that toxic water are now able to seek repayment for their medical costs because of a new law, the PACT Act. What those other ads don't tell you is that because the PACT Act is a fresh law, it's important to find an attorney who understands the new claims forms. There is a limited time to file your Camp Lejeune claim, so you need a lawyer who can get it right the first time. The experienced team of attorneys at sickmarine.com is ready to file your claim. They will fight for you, and they won't take no for an answer. Sign up at sickmarine.com.
Everyone deserves to feel connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. For real. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
By now, you've probably seen ads about water contamination at Camp Lejeune everywhere on TV, social media, and probably even following you around on the internet. The water at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune was contaminated with toxic chemicals for more than 3 decades. It is not rare for people who drank this water for an extended period of time to develop severe illness, including kidney cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, leukemia, liver cancer, bladder cancer, birth defects, Parkinson's, and more. A new law called the PACT Act allows victims of poisoned water to seek repayment for their medical costs. What those other ads don't tell you is that because the PACT Act is a fresh law, it is important to find an attorney who understands the new claims forms. There is limited time to file your Camp Lejeune claim, so you need a lawyer who can get it right the first time. The experienced team of attorneys at SickMarine.com is ready to file your claim. They will fight for you and won't take no for an answer. To file your claim and to have your case prioritized, sign up at SickMarine.com.
Sunday on TV One.
Fame was a bit of a trick bag.
It's an all-new episode of Unsung.
She was like, I'm coming to get you. And I said, okay, Mom, I'm coming home.
Followed by an all-new Uncensored.
I had to figure out how to move on.
I've been shot at so many times. Bullets do a whistle when they go by you.
The people you know, the stories you don't. This Sunday, don't miss an all-new Unsung at 9, followed by an all-new Uncensored at 10 on TV One.
MFS Investment Management. Our active 360 approach to fixed income goes beyond analyzing financials. We combine active security selection and risk management, striving to make the most of complex bond markets. MFS.com/active360.
By now, you've probably seen ads about water contamination at Camp Lejeune everywhere on TV, social media, and probably even following you around on the internet. The water at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune was contaminated with toxic chemicals for more than 3 decades. It is not rare for people who drank this water for an extended period of time to develop severe illness, including kidney cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, leukemia, liver cancer, bladder cancer, birth defects, Parkinson's, and more. A new law called the PACT Act allows victims of poisoned water to seek repayment for their medical costs. What those other ads don't tell you is that because the PACT Act is a fresh law, it is important to find an attorney who understands the new claims forms. There is limited time to file your Camp Lejeune claim, so you need a lawyer who can get it right the first time. The experienced team of attorneys at SickMarine.com is ready to file your claim. They will fight for you and won't take no for an answer. To file your claim and to have your case prioritized, sign up at SickMarine.com.
That's Satsuma IPA, made with local Satsumas. How local?
Hey, hon, did you get my red dress from the cleaners?
Local is a 6'2 welder in a red sequin dress. Try Satsuma IPA from Faubourg Brewery, the New Orleans way to IPA.
At Discount Tire, we know your time is valuable. Get 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Josh Miller, host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals Show. The podcast is dedicated to, to covering content related to the National Football League's Cincinnati Bengals, of course. It's always great to have Josh back on the program to talk about his beloved Cincinnati Bengals. All right, let's do this. Let's get now to week 8 in the National Football League and its most important games. The Arizona Cardinals against the Minnesota Vikings. First for the Cardinals last Thursday night. It was a must-win game for them. They handled their business beating the New Orleans Saints. Kyler Murray was solid. The defense showed up for that game. As for the Minnesota Vikings, they had a bye week to get rested, to get relaxed, and to get ready. The Vikings, the week before that, in week 6, they were able to beat the Miami Dolphins 24-16. So as I mentioned earlier, for the Arizona Cardinals, they have Kyler Murray. They added a lot of depth to the wide receiver side. Last week, they had completed a trade with the Carolina Panthers. The Cardinals brought in wide receiver Robbie Anderson. So you have Robbie Anderson. You have DeAndre Hopkins that is back. In addition, you've got tight end Zach Ertz. And, of course, the running game with Chase Edmonds. James Conner is expected to be back for this game. Again, there's the injury report will be out very shortly. But in the meantime, James Conner should be a go for this game. But The Minnesota Vikings, Kirk Cousins, he's solid. He's effective. You got Dalvin Cook, a.k.a. the chef. He's been cooking it up, running and catching the ball. But, man, Justin Jefferson is elite. When I say he's an elite receiver, he is elite and then some. And it just gets better every year for Justin. This is only Justin's third year in the league. So, and Justin Jefferson is just a great talent. He's one of those once-in-a-generation talents. We talk about the wide receivers, particularly coming out of LSU the last several years. Ja'Marr Chase representing the Cincinnati Bengals. And you have Justin Jefferson, who represents the Minnesota Vikings. Both of those gentlemen played at LSU. So you've got a great one between the Arizona Cardinals and the Minnesota Vikings. This is going to be a game really boiling down to the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. But Minnesota's defense has picked it up lately, so this should be a good one in Minnesota, or in Minneapolis to be exact. Next most important game that I picked for week 8, the Chicago Bears going up against the Dallas Cowboys. First for Chicago, Monday night against New England, they moved the ball down the field. Wow, congratulations, Chicago. So the offense was not stagnant. Running game was effective with David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert. And then the defensive side was very good in this game against New England. Now, defensively, they lost their pass rusher, Robert Quinn. He was traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Bears get a draft pick in return. But in this game, we saw the continued development of Justin Fields, not just throwing the ball, but also running the ball, using his athletic ability. And we saw Chicago taking chances down the field. This is good. This is a start. And they're going to have to continue that against a tough Dallas Cowboys defense. Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, Dorrance Armstrong, those gentlemen have been great for the Cowboys this year on the defensive side. And, of course, Dak Prescott returned last week, was solid in his return, beating the Detroit Lions. So Bears and Cowboys, this rivalry goes back for many decades. When we talk about Bears, Cowboys, Mike Ditka, Jim McMahon, Walter Payton, Willie Gault. Oh, gosh, the Bears defense with the Refrigerator Perry, also Dan Hampton, Ron Rivera, Steve Mongo McMichael, just to name a few in the Dallas Cowboys. Of course, Danny White, Tony Dorsett, Roger Staubach, Drew Pearson. And then you can also go into Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin. There's just so many names that have come up in this Bears-Cowboys rivalry. Hopefully, this game will be good as they play at Jerry World in Arlington, Texas. Next game is going to be a good one in the AFC East, the rivalry between the New England Patriots and the New York Jets. Normally, during the Tom Brady era, the Patriots dominated for decades over the Jets. Not this year, buddy, because the New York Jets, Jets have not only taken flight, they have soared above expectations. They hit a bump in the road last week despite beating the Denver Broncos. Rookie running back Breece Hall tore his ACL. He's done for the year. And, you know, the Jets, they were able to hit the jackpot with a major trade, landing former Jacksonville Jaguars running back James Robinson. As far as the Jets are concerned, offensively, they make big moves at the running back position, acquiring James Robinson. Quarterback Zach Wilson's looking solid. He's trying to get back to his old form. Defensively, the Jets look great right now. New England, Bill Belichick said that Mac Jones will be the starting quarterback. We're going to see how this whole quarterback fiasco straightens out in New England, because Bailey Zappe played very well in the absence with Jones being out with injury, but Mac is back in the starting lineup. And we've been hearing reports that, you know, Mac didn't like the way they were doing the quarterback deal last Monday night against the Bears. So we'll see how that plays out going forward. But in the meantime, the New England Patriots and the New York Jets. The Jets have been winning lately. They've been doing very well, and that crowd should be rocking at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Patriots-Jets game will be in the Pacific Northwest between the New York Giants and the Seattle Seahawks. The Giants came back, beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was a tough game, but the Giants toughing it out. Daniel Jones doing what he does best, running and throwing the ball. Saquon Barkley being Mr. Everything for the New York Giants. How about Wandell Robinson? He's played well the last couple of games for the Giants. Giants defense looking good so far. As for the Seattle Seahawks, they hit a bump in the road as well. DK Metcalf, he's going to be week to week. He suffered an injury to his patella tendon. So the good news is that he won't have surgery, but he's going to be week to week. But the Seahawks, they do have Tyler Lockett. They've got Geno Smith, who's played effectively this year. And how about their running back, Kenneth Walker, for the rookie out of Michigan State? He has been on the money for Seattle since he's taken over as the starting running back, filling in for Rashad Penny. Rashad is done for the year due to a devastating injury. But the Seahawks overall have been one of the surprises in the first half of this year alongside the New York Giants. So we got the Giants and the Seahawks, going to be a good one. The San Francisco 49ers will go up against the Los Angeles Rams. This is an NFC West showdown that's been a rivalry for decades, going back as far as Joe Montana, Jim Everett, Jerry Rice, John Taylor, Henry Ellard, Flipper Anderson, just to name a few. And that rivalry has been renewed for almost the last decade. So this is going to be a good one. First for the Rams. The Rams had a bye week this week. And before that, back in week 6, they were able to beat the Carolina Panthers. As for the 49ers, they're looking out for vengeance. They lost a tough game at Levi's Stadium, losing to the Kansas City Chiefs in a tough game in a rematch of the Super Bowl from 2 years ago. So the Niners starting to get the offense together. Christian McCaffrey looked comfortable last week against the Chiefs. I expect him to be even more comfortable this week against the LA Rams. This is going to be a good one in the Battle of California with the 49ers and the Rams. The 49ers got a lot of weapons on offense with Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Mr. Everything, Deebo Samuel, of course, Brandon Ayuk. Can't forget about Jeff Wilson, how he's running the ball. And then the Rams, we know about their defense led by Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. So the 49ers and the Rams is going to be a good one. Sunday Night Football, the Green Bay Packers going up against the Buffalo Bills. First for Green Bay, their troubles continue. So many moving parts in the offensive line position is like musical chairs at that position. Aaron Rodgers can't get protection. The receivers are not catching the football. Just not having it right now. Any plus side to the Packers offense this year has been the running game. Aaron Jones has been really good. He's been Mr. Everything for the Packer offense this year. As for the Buffalo Bills, we know about the Bills. The Bills are just balling right now. They're a Super Bowl favorite this year. They had a bye week last week, but the week before that, in week 6, they beat the Kansas City Chiefs at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. So the Bills are on point right now, and their fans are on point. They have one of the best fan bases in the National Football League. Their fans, you know, they tailgate like no other. They crash through tables and they drink. Yes, I said it. They crash through tables. I guess that's Buffalo thing. That's what they do. But I tell you what, the Bills have one of the best fan bases in the National Football League. Aaron Rodgers said they needed that loss last week to the Commanders to get the ship back on track and get their stuff together. Well, I don't know if this is the game where they're going to get their stuff together, but they're going to have to try because they're going to be going up against a team that is, again, a Super Bowl favorite this year, and that fan base is going to be rocking. Green Bay versus Buffalo on Sunday Night Football. Monday Night Football, the Battle of Ohio, the Cincinnati Bengals going up against the Cleveland Browns. First for the Browns, they lost a tough one to the Baltimore Ravens last week. For the Cincinnati Bengals, they appear to be getting back on track. Joe Burrow doing what Joe Burrow does best, throw lots of yards and get lots of touchdowns. Joe Mixon, he did what he did. He did what he does best, running and catching the ball. Receiving, Jamar Chase, unstoppable. T. Higgins did his thing. Tyler Boyd did his thing as well. Bengals and Browns, this is going to be spooky one on Monday night. Halloween night on Monday night is going to be a great one in the Battle of Ohio in Cleveland between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns. Now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be a great one between the San Francisco 49ers and the Los Angeles Rams. First for the defending champion, LA Rams. Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Floyd, and that defense, they're looking to get back to their championship ways. It's been a tough first half of the year for them so far, but they're looking to get back to their winning ways, to their championship ways. On the offensive side, Matthew Stafford still trying to find his way. There's been report. Of course, we know about what happened with the elbow injury that slowed him down during the offseason and much of the preseason. And I just don't, you know, I think something else may be wrong with the elbow. Who knows? But right now, it seems as though he's trying to get back into the groove of things. Meanwhile, Cooper Kupp, what can you say about Cooper, one of the best wide receivers in the league? You've also got Allen Robinson. Allen still trying to find his way on the offensive side. It appears that he's trying to catch up. Maybe the bye week would help him get more acquainted with the offense and to get things together. So we got the LA Rams. They're still trying to find their identity. They're not quite there yet, but they're getting there. As for the 49ers, again, they hit the jackpot last week, making big moves and getting a trade with Carolina to get running back Christian McCaffrey. Jimmy Garoppolo did what Jimmy G did best last week, despite losing to Kansas City, getting the job done, being accurate, and just doing what he does best. George Kittle, one of the best tight ends in the league. You know what he's all about. Brandon Ayuk, you know what he's all about. Deebo Samuel, I don't need to say any more about him. You know what the situation is with him. Defensively, I mean, San Francisco, defensively, we know about Nick Bosa. He's unstoppable. Fred Warner's unstoppable as well. You know, Dre Greenlaw had an injury. There were a couple of injuries that had taken place for the 49ers. It's been a tough first half of the year for them. But one thing is for sure, the 49ers so far, they've done what they do best, play power football with the running game, and they let Jimmy just manage the game, let his accuracy do the talking. And I know that 49er offensive line, they're going to have a tough task against that Rams defensive line, dealing with the likes of Aaron Donald. But 49ers and Rams, it's always hard-hitting. This is a rematch of last year's NFC Championship game. I know the 49ers have that game still in the back of their minds, and they're looking to come back to Inglewood and settle the score at SoFi Stadium. The San Francisco 49ers and the Los Angeles Rams, my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, it's now time to give you my picks on who I think will win Week 8's most important games. The Arizona Cardinals versus the Minnesota Vikings. I like Minnesota to win that game. The Chicago Bears versus the Dallas Cowboys. I like Dallas to win that game. The New England Patriots going up against the New York Jets. I like the New York Jets to continue to fly high. The Jets will win. The New York Giants versus the Seattle Seahawks. This is going to be a really good game, but I like Seattle to win in a close one. In my game of the week, the San Francisco 49ers going up against the Los Angeles Rams. I like the 49ers to take that one. Sunday Night Football is going to be a raucous crowd in Western New York with the Green Bay Packers going up against the Buffalo Bills. I like Buffalo to win that game. And Monday night in the Battle of Ohio, Cincinnati versus Cleveland, I like the Cincinnati Bengals to win that game. So my picks for Week 8 are Minnesota, Dallas, New York Jets, Seattle, San Francisco, Buffalo, and Cincinnati. And there you have it. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. Once again, a big special thank you to Josh Miller, host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals Show. The podcast is dedicated to covering content related to the National Football League Cincinnati Bengals. And until next week, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to the League Wraparound.
At Discount Tire, we know your time is valuable. Get 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.
At Overstock, we know home is a pretty important place, and we think everyone deserves a home that makes them happy. That's why we have great deals and free shipping on the furniture and decor you need to create the home of your dreams. Overstock, making dream homes come true.